Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Now, remember, four periods ago, they were down 2-1 in the third period of a game
and
that was
going
to eliminate.
Back.
Yes, they did. And since, they have looked tremendous. We obviously...
By the way, and they're not winning games by one goal.
Correct.
Which is exactly what the great fear is. Oh, it's a one-goal game. Right.
This is not the place to get into the X's and O's of playoff hockey. That's
because we're so good at that.
That's Nigel's Icebreakers podcast. You can hear here on Sunday.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Plausibly live, reasonably live, virtually live.
Virtually.
At Chatter on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street Northwest, just inside the district line in the capital of the United States of America. We're on the air with Gary Braun, with Luke Russert, with Michael Kornheiser. Nigel's going to run the board and do the news. Claude is in here because Nigel's going to miss a couple of days later on, and Claude will take over. Richie Justice will join us in a little while.
Wally Pipp.
And I'm going to tell a story.
We should point out David Poyle and Dino Ciccarelli joining Nigel on Icebreakers this Sunday.
Very exciting.
Can't wait for that.
This is the ice hockey one I do, not the field hockey one.
Right.
That's later.
Can't wait for that.
Not grass breakers.
So I'm going to tell a story about yesterday. Yesterday was in the sports business, and I had forgotten about this until yesterday afternoon. Yesterday evening in New York is when they gave out the sports Emmys. Now, the PTI show gets nominated for the sports Emmy all the time. We have been on the air 15 years. We've been nominated 13 times. The first year we weren't nominated because we'd just gotten on the air. And we missed once a couple of years ago. And I'm going to be as honest as I can be here. I was angry at that. It's not so much that I want to win because we've won. I mean, we've already won. But it's like, I think we should get nominated. We don't get nominated. And you say there are five better shows than our show. Really? I don't believe that. So when I say it's an honor to be nominated, that's actually true. And I also think it's an expectation because I think the show is good. So we've won once, nominated a lot, sort of like Susan Lucci and All My Children. And Eric Rideholm always is there to make a speech or to prepare a speech, but a speech he never really uses. And last night we sent both Frankie Nation and Matt Iwano up there as if that would change our luck.
It's in New York. And they are show originals. That's the original band. They're the original band.
Frankie joined about 6 months in.
Okay.
And Matt Iwano was always with us but came down from Bristol about a year in.
For a show being out 16 years. They're the original band.
So we sent them up, and all that did basically was strip our ability to do a good PTI show yesterday because nobody was there. And left to our own devices, particularly in Wilbon's case, we're not even going to get on the air. So Kelleher says to me yesterday, so I'll call you if we win. And I go, okay, that would be great. But he also gets in my ear. At the end of PTI, he gets in my ear, and Luke knows how this works, and he gets in my ear, and he says, tell the Emmy people to do the right thing. So on the sign-off, on the shout-out, I go, hey, Emmy people, do the right thing. I don't think we're going to win, and I'm not troubled by not winning.
They probably already voted at that point.
I would assume so. I've got one, and I've said this a million times. I keep it in the bathroom, and I use it to hold toilet paper. Because the wings come out of it, and it's very good to hold toilet paper. So last night, I'm watching the Nats. I'm not going to dwell on this right now. I'm watching the Nats. I'm terrified at 4-2 at the end of when eight. Scherzer comes out in the middle of the eighth. He goes full eight, so I'm terrified at that point, even though he should win the game.
Right.
And I don't want to watch. So I go upstairs, I put something else on, and I drift off to sleep, and I don't get any phone calls. I mean, I hadn't even remembered about the Emmy. I hadn't, but... Kelleher's going to call me if we win, and I wake up in the morning at 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning, and nobody's called, and to my knowledge, nobody's called. So then I go downstairs, and I'm about to walk the dog. It's about 5:30, and I'm gonna walk Chessie, and I do what I do all the time. I just check the phone. I check the phone to see if there have been any messages. And I notice in the upper left-hand side, where the message thing is, the green message thing, it says 17 messages.
Uh-oh. How about that?
No, 17. And the only thing I can think of is Trump wants me to head the FBI. Right? So what else could it be?
That's either something very good happened or something very bad happened.
So 17 messages, and I look, and they're all, congratulations, you won the Emmy. It's like from people, David Klecka from Phoenix.
Wow. Oh, sure.
And somebody from the 603 area code. I don't even know what the 603 is.
We found Hampshire.
Out it's New Hampshire. So I don't really know who that is.
It's probably Gene Shaheen, former governor.
It's certainly possible. Or Howard Dean. No, he's in Vermont.
Howard Dean's in Vermont. Shaheen's still in the Senate.
So we win.
Congratulations.
Yes, congrats.
And it was the studio daily show?
Yeah, best daily studio show. I begin to think about this. I'm walking the dog and I'm smiling because we won.
Right.
Now, I'm really happy we won. The honest truth is, if we hadn't won, which I expected, because Barkley wins every year. Apparently, Barkley's show was moved out of the category of daily because Barkley won overall best talent or something like that.
Right.
So we were not competing against Barkley, and my thought was, well, what happened? Did he get arrested? You know, how come he didn't win? But he actually won something. So I'm thinking about this as I'm going around with the dog, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, two is nice. Two is really nice. Wow. I'm going to have to build another bathroom.
Yes, this is like a home run off a position player because Barkley wasn't in the category.
Right. I think that's true. With an asterisk.
No, good point.
But I'm thinking
put the semi in the little house.
What I think of immediately is this. The trainer who just won the Kentucky Derby.
Uh-huh.
I've forgotten his name already. Could you look up the trainer who just won the Kentucky Derby 4 days ago?
He had a great suit.
That guy had saddled 45 Derby horses and only won once. So the questioning of him was, how does the second, as if he was a fluke. As if he was a fluke winner, which you could say about somebody who's only won once.
Sure.
So now that we've won twice.
Too solidified.
So now we backed it up, right?
Yes.
We
absolutely.
Backed it up. So now we're not a fluke. What's the guy's name?
Customato.
Rich something?
Not Customato.
In all fairness, though.
Todd Fletcher.
With a P. Whatever. In all fairness, obviously I'm biased, but. What else is there? I mean, there's no other good daily sports show. I mean, around the horn, I would say, but there's no one to compare
to PTI.
Of patsies. I mean, come on. The other aspect of this
should have been the only nominee.
And as a fellow Emmy winner, I'll be on the news side. I'm a news Emmy winner.
Wow. What do you do with
your surrounded?
Originally, I kept it on my coffee table, and people would pick it up because they thought it was an Academy Award and take pictures with it at my house while inebriated. Now it sits in the corner of my office, tucked behind a picture of myself in a koala.
Right.
The Emmys are a complete butt-kissing contest. They are a joke. They do not at all evaluate talent. Some of the people that win them are the ones who just show up to all the Emmy people cocktail parties and do the right thing or send in their submission 500 times, so they end up giving it to them because they have to. I don't like
PTI
shout-outs. And then the other thing is, like, the local news Emmys, that's the biggest joke of all time. You have someone that comes to a station, it's like 18-time Emmy Award winner. Never heard of them. Never heard of them. Because they hand out local news Emmys to everybody.
Thank you for diminishing everything that I've written for.
I'm just amazed.
I'm saying that you should have 16 Emmys.
So here's my feeling
and
about this.
And people who have 16 should have zero.
How did
That's
he unleash that crushing and not use the phrase Caps fans once? That's what I want to know.
My feeling about this was that we had reached the point, because we've been on a long time and we're old. We had reached the point where the nomination itself was a foregone conclusion, and everybody was happy with that, that we were sort of like LeBron, that they were never going to give it to us.
Well, you had one. They can't take that away from you.
Well, I didn't think of it in those terms. But
what is wrong with you?
That's actually appropriate.
Sorry about that.
All right, so then I was thinking, we're going to get to the Southwest fight. So good things have happened very recently. So we win another Emmy. Will Bonner, the whole show wins. And there's a picture of Frankie Nation and Matt Iwano and Eric Rideholm and Mike Foss, who's the coordinator of ABC and ESPN, and Tom Howard, who is our director. And because I didn't believe we actually won, but Reality sent that picture out, and they're holding an Emmy, so I believe it to be true. I've got the Emmy. I'm getting the honorary doctorate from Binghamton, although I have to make a speech, which I'm nervous about, and I'm going to be in the Washington Sports Hall of Fame. And I wondered, like, If anybody asked me,
well, you're making
like
the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah.
Gonna say,
when is that happening?
July 9th.
Okay, because I got to tell you, I always get PO'd when I'm at Nats Park and I look up and I see Wilbon's name on that parking garage the Mariners built and not yours.
Well, now it's going
to
be
upsetting to me. So I'm very happy about that.
Thank you.
As we do every time you win an Emmy, can we do the count for the EGOT? I mean, so you've got the Emmy.
That's all I've got.
All right, well,
I don't have the Oscar.
So you're quarter of the way there.
I didn't get the Oscar. Amazingly, after Creed, neither Wilbon nor I got the Oscar.
So will you buy this second one? Because don't you have to...
They gave it to us. I think they fill it out and they give it to us. But
so who gets them?
Well, I
everyone
think everybody
involved
on the show.
The show.
I think everybody.
I think Ryan has the chance to buy.
Yeah, I think
my daughter-in-law.
And then you have
my daughter-in-law has one.
My wife,
right? She's got one.
She does.
The only time we won when she worked at PTI.
Again, though, that's part of the scam is that you have to buy the trophy
I'm
and then you also have to buy the certificate, which I think is BS.
I never got a certificate.
Oh yeah, they're supposed to frame it, but they go.
I think
the certificate unframed is like $40, and then if you got it framed, it's like $2,000. I mean, it's something crazy.
Couldn't I buy it and take it to a framer?
That's what you should do. That's what
I didn't even get an offer the last time.
Oh, you should.
So what am I most proud of, or what means the most to me? Well, it's very
Our
simple.
Friendship?
No, it's the doctorate. It's the doctorate. Because I can't put on a return address two-time Emmy winner Anthony Kornheiser. I can't do that. That's ridiculous.
Just wait till Luke crushes your honorary doctorate in about 2 months.
Let me just say, not to be left out.
No, I'm not crushing it. I'm saying that he should get more. I think the Emmys are inherently corrupt because if guys like Kornheiser and Wilbon are sitting here, they only have two.
We just got two.
You should have 22, okay? It's ridiculous.
If Barkley's not in your category anymore, doesn't this free you up? I mean, it's like Jim Brown retiring. You're like, I can win some rushing titles now.
Jordan just left.
Well, you know what used to beat us?
Go get your titles.
In the last few years, what used to beat us all the time was something from the MLB Network. Okay. And their shows are good.
Very good.
Their shows are good. Right. So it was nice to wake up and see.
That's great.
How many people watch their show?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I am the proud owner of a couple of AIR awards. That's the now defunct Achievement in Radio.
I've got a couple of those.
Yeah, well, actually, I have them now.
Oh, you have them?
Yeah.
You took mine?
I think you gave them to me when you cleaned out your office in 96 or whatever.
I thought I had something like that.
If you want it, I can bring it back.
So I just wanted to tell that story because I was
That's great. Yeah, we're very happy. We love PTI, obviously.
And
the whole PTI.
And then I thought of all the people that I wanted to say eat it to. You know, and I'm
well, if you haven't already seen this, Greg Garcia, who we speak of frequently, who's been on the show.
We love Greg.
Right.
His
The original board operator is Greg Garcia.
Right. It was his Emmy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. His Emmy Award acceptance speech, if you Google it, it's there. Greg Garcia Emmy Award speech is the best ever.
Yeah. So I didn't get to make a speech. I mean, and Ride Home.
Well, you just
Eric
did.
Ride Home,
you had 10 minutes.
Well, I just want to say this that I'm very happy. It makes me happy, although because I didn't think we'd win another one, and it didn't matter. But it makes me happy that we did that. But I feel happiest for Ride Home and Kelleher.
Sure.
Because Luke knows this better than anyone else in this room because Luke was celebrity intern Luke Russert. I mean, they put that show together. Not just that show, a lot of shows. They work hard every single day, and they put a bunch of great things out there, right?
You're only as good as your producer in live television. Or almost live television.
Broadcast.
Yeah. Thanks,
but Luke. The way in which those two guys run PTI like a well-oiled machine, there's never a flare-up. If there is, they take care of it. They're extremely knowledgeable. They know how to cater to your strengths. They know how to cater to your weaknesses when they have to. They're the best. And Eric Rideholm...
And created it.
And the creative aspect of it. I mean, Eric Rideholm, I can't stress this enough. If you've watched cable TV, news, or sports in the last 15 years, that's a creation of Eric Rideholm. The way graphics now are continuously on the screen explaining what's going to come up next, that's Eric Rideholm. Debate is Eric Rideholm. Putting smart writers on television and talking who might not be the best-looking people in the world.
Thank you.
That's Rideholm. Well, I'm just saying. Before Eric Rideholm, there are some guys who aren't going to get on television.
So we have him to blame for Saliza, is what you're saying.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Saliza is a creation, I would say, of the blogosphere plus the Rideholmization of TV. But yeah.
The Rideholmization of TV, I like that. Right. All right, so that's my story, and you're wondering why haven't we gotten to James Comey? Well, we will. Luke and Chuck Todd will talk about James Comey later in the show. I will just leave you with this because Nigel and I talked about this yesterday when Nigel said, "Have you seen this?" I actually didn't know you could fire the director of the FBI. I didn't know you could do that. I sort of thought in my mind it was like the Supreme Court and you couldn't do it. But obviously you can.
You can. It's a 10-year term. However, it's up to the subject of the president. And Nigel called me yesterday a little worried that we would be a little short-staffed.
We want you to be up to speed.
I assured him. I said, look.
Because if this was if you were working Capitol Hill, you'd be up there now.
7 years on Capitol Hill, and it was fun last night. I actually phoned and texted my old sources, and they say, who are you calling on behalf of? I said, the Tony Kornheiser Show. They go, wow, you've really fallen.
The Tony Kornheiser Podcast.
We'll get to all of that. We have Richard Justice when we come back, and I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Sherry's Berries ad. This is Mother's Day. I had the wrong week for the last
Sunday.
2 weeks.
Yeah, this is not Mother's Day.
No, this
is
not today, but Sunday. This is Mother's Day weekend.
That's right.
And Mother's Day falls on Sunday. And one of the things you can get for your mom and all your friends around your mom is these berries. And your mom's not going to eat them all. I mean, they're gigantic. They're
huge.
Really not going to eat them all.
Moms love to share.
You know, and that's what moms do. Mother's Day is this weekend. There's still time to send her Sherry's Berries. Huge, freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping. And you can double the berries for just $10 more. You pick your delivery date, and these berries are guaranteed to arrive fresh and delicious or your money back. They're not your typical gourmet dipped strawberries and will impress and surprise any mom. Sherry's berries are huge, sweet, juicy, covered in decadent toppings like chocolate chips, chopped nuts, white milk, and dark chocolatey goodness. And the only way to get this amazing berries deal starting at $19.99 is to visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and use the code for this show, TKPOD. Yeah, TKPOD. That's berries.com, berries.com, and the code TKPOD when you click on the microphone. This amazing deal won't last long, and Mother's Day is this weekend, so be sure to order now.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are pros doing this. Steve Lipton of Springfield, Virginia says, attached you'll find an original song I co-wrote with my best friend from growing up, Mark Bryan of Hootie and the Blowfish. His song will be included on his third solo album, Songs of the Fortnight, available for purchase and downloads later this year. We perform under the name Mark Bryan and the Screaming Trojans, and I promise to leave you 2 tickets and free parking right out front to our next DC-based performance. Pros.
How about that?
Steve Lipton, a longtime listener for which we are very grateful. Richard Justice of MLB.com joins us now. And I promise you, Richie, I'm not going to talk about the bullpen of the Nats because I do it every day. This is a Nats-free discussion.
No.
I'm not. No. I can't. I just can't bear it. So,
well, I might ask the question then.
Yeah.
Well, later. Wait, Tony, we have to. We have to.
Yeah.
Really?
Because on opening day, you had me on and I said, calm down. As long as Strasburg and Scherzer and one other guy are standing when October starts, everything will be fine. I just looked at that bullpen with all those arms because Blanton has been one of the best relievers in baseball the last 2 years. And you figured the long-term plan was by September, Glover would be the guy to pitch the ninth. And then you could just back those guys up. But you had to have stability in the ninth inning. Now you're to the point, I think Barry Saluga sort of said this yesterday, you're at the point where you can impact your team. You got a good team. You're going to the playoffs. But, like, I watched the Nationals-Orioles game last night only because of you and because I saw the score 4-1, 4-2, and I thought, no, this can't happen again. So, Tony, here's my I've got a shopping list for you. If you're going to get a closer now, and you got to have somebody now, you it's not going to work. You're going to, as Barry said, you're going to have guys looking at each other in the clubhouse. And even with a veteran team with guys like Zimmerman and with Dusty running the thing, you can do some damage. And so now, look, I would call the Royals today and say, look, you guys aren't going anywhere. You got this guy, Kelvin Herrera, 18 months. We're going to have to overpay for him. And we're ready to overpay because this is not trading season. Unless you want to go for a better guy like Ryan Matson, you now have to have an adult to pitch that. Or you're gonna do some real damage. This is the best Nationals team there's ever been, but it's going to be ruined by what they're doing in the ninth inning. And like I think you probably, I don't know if you watched it, you could see it coming.
I turned away. I just couldn't stand it.
You could see it coming.
Yeah. All right. Well, Thank you for that. Nigel's going to, Richie, your phone is like in and out and pretty tinny. We're going to stay on the line. Nigel's going to call you right back, and we're going to start. We're not going to start over because we don't start over here. And I like all that stuff.
We're just going to
vamp. Is that okay till he calls you back?
Sure.
So call him back. I didn't want to get into that.
He's right. They need to go do something. And I think the point that he brings up is that if you are a guy like Zimmerman, you are a guy like Worth, who's probably in his last year at the Nationals, this is the best team you've ever been on.
And you know it.
Yeah. And by the way, this is the window. This year and next year. That's it. Because then we have a lot of questions we have to answer. They got to figure this out. And an old man Lerner, God bless him, he's got to bring the Benjamins. Because this team needs to – highest ERA in baseball, this bullpen.
Is that right?
Yeah, 5.38. Highest ERA. Along with teams like...
Well, I guess Trinan helps that.
Trinan has all those.
He's about 11. Okay.
They're the only team on that bottom five list with who's in first place.
With a winning record, probably.
Okay. The last 12... Of the 12 games they've lost, the bullpen couldn't hold the lead in half of them.
No, I know.
So that's roughly six wins.
It's like it'd be like 27.
Richard Justice is back.
Yeah.
Let me spread this out a little bit. If I looked at the standings... The three things that stick out to me are Yankees way up, Cubs down, Giants really down. I'll start with the Giants because that's a three-time World Series winner, and they went out and they got Melanson, who the Nats really wanted. They're terrible. How did that happen?
Because they didn't fill a hole they had in left field, and it's still a hole, and the offense is terrible. If you look at what they're doing, only Buster Posey's doing what he's supposed to do. And then they counted on Matt Moore and Jeff Samardzija in the rotation.
Right.
And they've been terrible. They've just at some point, you factor in, look, Samardzija's a veteran guy. Cueto's a veteran guy. Matt Moore's a veteran guy. They got to do X, Y, and Z. And even, they lost their most indispensable player, Madison Bumgarner. Understand that.
Yes.
But at some point, you shouldn't be losing every game. You shouldn't be doing it the way they're doing it. They weren't as good as the Dodgers on opening day. But how do you come out of this? You just have to show up and hope those guys start pitching. It may be a case where the front office just got it wrong in their evaluations of guys.
That's an upside-down division. I didn't see Arizona coming, and I certainly didn't see Colorado.
Well, here's what Arizona and Colorado have. They both have really good position players, really good offenses, and with some veteran guys and some young guys mixed in. But they all have a lot of young pitchers, a lot of high-end young pitchers. And what we're learning about baseball now is these teams go into these rebuilding cycles, and you start throwing young guys out there. You don't know. It happened in Houston overnight with guys.
Yes.
And that could be what we're seeing with Arizona and Colorado.
It's a very interesting thing if you look at the standings. I mean, the way people consume baseball most of the time is they look at their own local team for the first 30 or 40 games, and then they wander around in the standings and see what's going on. And as I said, Yankees up. You talk about pitching. The Yankees aren't supposed to have any starting pitching. Yankees up, Cubs down. The Cubs surprises me more than the Yankees. How about you?
No, I thought on opening day, here were the questions for the Cubs. They have young players like Baez and Schwarber and Contreras that they have not written their career arc yet. So the league's going to adjust to them. Can they readjust? It's always about a three-year stretch with young guys. The other thing was, since opening day of last year, opening day of 2 years ago, most innings pitched in baseball, top 10, Lackey, Arrieta, Lester. And you thought, those boys have fired a lot of bullets. Are they going to be good to go? And they don't really have a fallback plan. They have a kid they got named Eddie Butler, was a top prospect with the Rockies. So, that was the question with the Cubs. It was never, like people would say, this is the beginning of the 1,000-year reign. No, I mean you've got some question marks there.
I can see that, and my question with the Yankees is how do the Yankees stay up? Because the Orioles and the Red Sox are really good teams. You got to play them 19 times. The Cubs can sort of walk into a playoff spot because their division is no good, but the Yankees' division at the top is really good. How do they stay up?
Well, they're going to have to get more from Sabathia. They still are a little short on the pitching. Here's what's happened with the Yankees is the veteran guys that they didn't want anymore, Brett Gardner, Chase Headley, Jacoby Ellsbury, Sabathia would be included in that. They didn't want them anymore. And those guys have been fantastic. And while we thought it would be, okay, we're going to see Greg Bird and Sanchez, and we're going to see Aaron Judge, and we're going to transition, and we hope we can compete while we transition. You go out and sign Matt Holliday and Chris Carter, you're not in a full rebuild. And what's happened is Headley and Ellsbury and Gardner have been really good, and Aaron Judge is the best player on the planet right now. And it's a cool thing to see them doing it, and it's especially a cool thing to see how they're doing it. Their bullpen is great. Their offense is great. And so the question then is Masahiro Tanaka and Michael Pineda, do they have enough? Because in a lot of ways, it hasn't been a good season. They've lost their best starting pitcher, Caprillion, that they expected to pitch at some point. Greg Bird hasn't been very good. But it just shows you that we're in an era that if you have one player who's just, I don't know the word, resplendent, I mean, and yeah. That's what Judge has been, sort of he impacts everybody up and down the order.
Judge is enormous. He's 6'7", and he weighs 285. And the last guy I remember in baseball that enormous where the bat looked so small in his hand was Mark McGwire. And that's right. 30 years ago when Mark McGwire broke in. Do you see him as McGwire or a better player, you know, a better hitter? Because McGwire was a home run hitter and not a great hitter.
Yeah, well, no, McGwire was a very talented guy in understanding the mechanics of the game. The thing I would worry about with Judge is him playing the outfield, running around, falling down, and all of that. You know that. Remember a guy named Michael Westbrook? You looked at him and said, whoa,
the Redskins
got a very big wide receiver. What's the pounding his body's going to take because he's going to be a target? And that's what I would wonder about with Judge. But, you know, with both Sanchez, the catcher, and Judge, the Yankees got it right. And I'm telling you what they have. They have waves of young guys in the farm system. This is a very it's going to be interesting to see how good they are the next couple of years.
You don't at this point, I mean, we've played 30, 35 games. You don't at this point think they're as good as the Orioles and the Red Sox, or do you?
I still think they're not going to – I don't know. I don't think their pitching is going to hold up. But, Tony, we all picked Baltimore to finish last. It became a joke. I was in their spring clubhouse going, picking you guys last again 5 straight years, and I'm going to enjoy it. Like Adam Jones said, when they clinched a couple of years ago, he goes, I'm telling you, people still don't believe we can do it. And here's what they are. Like, you have to weigh the pluses versus minuses. Great bullpen. Even without Britton, their bullpen's pretty good. Great defense. They hit home runs. And they just, you know, it's a cliche, but the hole there, the leadership with Jones and Davis and a great manager, it's an incredible thing they've done there in Baltimore. And they go, their general manager, Dan Duquette, goes and finds players where other teams aren't even looking. They get Miguel Gonzalez out of the Mexican League a couple of years ago. They get Wan Chin, a guy from Korea that a lot of teams didn't even want. And they last week they pitched 3 guys that they got on a cash deal, a waiver deal, and a minor league trade. And you just go, they keep doing it.
I know that everybody who's ever been around Buck Showalter loves him as a manager. But the thing with Britton last year, has he outrun that? I mean, that's a big deal, Richie. That's a big deal.
And he knows it's a big deal. And because you take the guy who's the best at running a bullpen, the best at motivating a clubhouse, the best at just organizing the whole picture, and he made a mistake. And he knows he made a mistake. Why did he make a mistake? He made a mistake because it didn't work out. You commit to Britton for 1, you're committing for 2. And for whatever reason, he didn't do it. And I think, knowing how prideful Buck is, I promise you, I can't imagine how many sleepless nights he had during the postseason. Has he outrun it? You outrun it by going back to October and winning some.
Yeah, because you see Jimenez on the mound and it always brings back to you. The Matt Harvey situation, what is it exactly? I mean, I don't think anybody believes what Matt Harvey said yesterday, but what is it exactly and how serious is it? And I will tell you that without knowing Terry Collins, every time I see Terry Collins from afar on TV, I like him more and more and more. So,
I love the guy. He said a couple of years ago when Matt pitched like 1 inning in a spring game, was coming back from Tommy John, Matt comes off the mound. Now, they all knew he was going to pitch one inning. Matt said, I want to go another inning. And Terry looked at him and said, this is not going to be funny when we have this conversation in June, you bleep, bleep, bleep. Yeah. I think Matt Harvey's a trouble guy. I think it's more than just not being a good teammate. That's what I was going to say to you. You know, in the world in which we live a lot of our lives, the worst insult you can give a guy is you're not a good teammate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's worse than that. I think the guy's got some trouble. There's reports he's going to have in-house counseling. He denied that yesterday. But I think there must be something there. Now, how do you fix it? You fix it by you show up. Okay, you show up. He's not the first guy that stays out too late some nights. And the other part is they still have a chance. Even the most injury-riddled team in baseball.
Oh, they are.
They need him. They need him. And if he could come back and line up behind DeGrom and just be competitive and reestablish himself as a pitcher, forget whatever he's got going on personality-wise, because they're in a win-now mode. And they overcame a lot to make the postseason last year. And if he can help them win, you know, look, Curt Schilling wasn't exactly beloved, but as Luis Gonzalez said in Arizona one time, you know, honestly, on every fifth day, I really do like the guy. That's what you have to do. I mean, it's clear. A couple of years ago at Nats Park, the New York writers kept asking David Wright about Matt Harvey. Matt had pitched that day. And I finally said to one of the New York writers, why do you guys keep asking him about David Wright? It's clear, I mean, about Matt Harvey. It's clear he doesn't want to answer the question. And one of the guys said to me, let me just say this. David Wright's one of the finest people I've ever known. And Matt Harvey is a member of the Mets.
Richard, it's your old friend Luke Russert here. And I can...
Hi, Luke.
Big fan of yours. That you've always plugged. When I had the show with Carvel, Richard was on, and he always plugged us. He's a great American. I can, as a young guy, I can tell you, I've actually hung out with Matt Harvey a few times in New York City. We have some mutual friends. And I can tell you what's wrong with him. He is surrounded by the most beautiful women that I have ever seen, and every single door is open to him. And he hangs out with a pretty eclectic, fun-loving crew. It's not the usual temptation that an athlete faces because he's around with some pretty, I would say, high-end ballers, so to speak. And then you you complement that with the fact that he's not like a I'm going to go to the Vegas pool situation. He wants to go out to the cool hip eatery at 1:30 and experience the culture and experience the mood. And then who knows whether or not this Adriana Lima thing is true. But my question to you, Richard, is I'm worried for Harvey on the sense that in baseball terms, he doesn't have a lot of money and he hasn't had that big payday yet. And what happens to that? Can he go out and get the $200 million contract, or is that just an afterthought now?
Well, he's got the greatest agent in the world, Scott Boras, who communicates that and communicates that there are certain priorities you have to have in your life. And I'm sorry that you had a bad break. Page Six is reporting that you referenced it, that he had a bad breakup with a model. And that
we all have a bad day when Adriana Lima leaves us for Julian Edelman. It just it happens.
Who hasn't?
It happens.
And but one of the things Terry Collins told him is you have to put this first. And I don't know what you have to do to reorder your life. You have to put this first. And right now, I think, given two surgeries in the last, 3 years, we don't know what's still there. Luke, remember, when we first saw the guy, he was as good as anybody you'd ever seen. I mean, he was overpowering. And when he came back off the Tommy John, he looked like he was headed back down that road. When he pitched that game in the World Series, he looked like he was going to be dominant again. He hasn't been very good this year. And so, like, all these things begin with just do your job. Just do your job. Put this first. But clearly, he's got to have he's got to look at the world a little differently. And is he capable of doing that? We've all known, especially Tony and I, as long as we've done this, these guys, some of these guys walk into every room and you get your shoes kissed. I saw it most, from O.J. Simpson to Michael Jordan, and it screws up, your value system.
It does.
And you have to be big enough to just say, okay, at the end of the day, I'm still a ball player. And
he's only made $14 million. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not – everything begins with – performance. He's not going to and also you're seeing with they don't want the sideshow. Teams don't want the sideshow. But if he pitches well, he'll make plenty of money. And if he doesn't, I don't know what happens.
Thank you, Richie. Talk to
you
soon.
Guys.
Thank you very much. Richie Justice, who's great, who has stories of everybody all the time. For the record, Matt Harvey, as great as he is, the Dark Knight of Gotham, 31-30 lifetime, and now carrying a 5.14 ERA. So Sandy Alderson is fielding calls right now as people try to get him for a ham sandwich. We will take a break. News when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It has a sleek design, and it is delivered in a small, how-did-they-do-that sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the Internet's favorite mattress. There's free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And if you try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home, and then you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. It is designed, developed, and assembled in the United States of America, and you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tony. And Casper is spelled C-A-S-P-E-R. Use the promo code Tony. Let's do it again. www.casper.com/Tony. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Tim Blankenbaker from Rockville, Maryland, now North Carolina. Longtime Little, semi-regular during the very, very early days when he was underemployed after college. Every time I called as Tim from Rockville in WTEM era, Tony would ask if I was Tim Brandt, and I had to explain I wasn't, completely delaying whatever name nonsense I was originally calling about.
Sounds about right.
This is a recording from the early 90s made by me and my high school friends. Me on drums, that's Tim on drums, Greg on guitar and vocals, Steve on bass. We called ourselves PH, which we thought was smart and juvenile funny. For whatever reason, we were always in bands with other people and only got together when we were home from college. Steve's still in the D.C. area, Greg is in Texas, and Tim is in North Carolina. So this is, I think this is really a very lovely song, and it's a long time ago.
Is.
By the way, our high school graduation speaker was Maury Povich, pre-baby DNA days when he was at Channel 5.
Pre-chatter
and
ownership.
And he was great. So that's great.
Neville Waters in the house, by the way.
Just like
Neville Waters sighting.
Where's Neville?
He's over there.
Oh, there's Neville's over there. All right. Michael, tell the people when they want to submit their music how they do it.
As always, they can email jingles@tonykornheiser.com, and that high school graduation speaker trumps my own.
I was your high school graduation speaker.
Oh, just saying.
And there is the infamous line that is very famous at my alma mater,
right,
that you kids from Murray, you will not run the world. St. Albans kids will run the world. You guys are going to do art shows. Is that the line?
That's pretty much it.
That's the best.
It was a big line.
Tremendous line.
All right. So we have news. Nigel has news.
We do indeed, Mr. Tony. I know you talked about it briefly.
Luke is very eager to talk about the sports night.
Well, Luke declared in the break that this was the biggest day in the history of DC sports.
No. Biggest Wednesday, which biggest is saying a lot, because Wednesday is traditionally such a big sports day.
Because I guess there's a chance for the Caps and the Caps and the Wizards to move on to the next round.
No. Wizards can't move on.
Oh, that's right. So they can't even move on. So why exactly is this the biggest Wednesday in the history of DC sports?
Well, in the NBA playoffs, if you win Game 5, you have an 83% chance of winning the series. I do not think if the Wizards are to lose tonight, they will win.
Just to clarify, if it's 2-2 and you win Game 5.
Correct. Thank you.
Because if it's 3-1 and you win Game 5, you have like a 90% chance of winning.
Not a details guy, yeah. I would say that. Bob Carpenter right there. And the Capitals, I mean, this is all it.
Well, this is all it for Caps.
I mean, this is if they don't win tonight, they become a 30 for 30 as the greatest regular season team in the history of sports that is awful.
But even if they win tonight, they could still lose in the next round.
Not likely. No. If they win tonight, they're going all the way. Yeah. They're going all the way.
I agree with that.
Because the demon comes off the back. I mean,
I agree.
It's huge. And if the Wizards win tonight, I mean, we are no longer the laughingstock. If the Capitals also go, I believe that the conference final streak is broken, right? After 20
right. It was
years?
94? What was it?
No, 98. 98 when they went to the 98. Stanley Cup, right?
Right, yeah.
Went briefly to the Stanley Cup.
I'm just saying.
As Tony said to me yesterday,
three games,
if Detroit
right?
could have swept them in three, they would have.
Now, everyone's picking them. I am going to be the contrarian. I looked up. Do you guys remember 2015, May 13th?
Prepare to get angry, Centerville.
The Wizards lost to the Atlanta Hawks in Game 5. Yep. The Capitals lost Game 7 against the Rangers 2-1 in OT. I'm saying there's going to be a repeat of May 13th, 2015.
Oh, so this will end in tears.
Right, they're both going down. I'm going to be in Boston to see it for one of them.
There's also a Nats game.
Down.
Michael, you're going to the Nats game.
I will
tonight.
Be at the Nats game. See Strasburg.
Okay.
Get a no decision.
Was there anything else?
After eight strong.
Was there anything else you wanted to add about the Nats loss? I know you talked about it with Richard earlier.
No.
Just a tough loss.
No, it's.
Can you please wait until Sean Kelly and Coda Glover come back before you completely give up on
that? At 4-2, after Max Scherzer had chased Dusty Baker from the mound by saying, I got him,
I've got him.
Blanken got him, and then he got him, right. Manny Machado, it's 4-2 into the ninth inning, and you say to yourself, okay, they're going to win, and they don't win.
I don't say that.
I just left.
There's a two-year window.
Sad.
You have 17 and 18. This is the best team you ever had. I'm sorry, if you're the learners on paper, you're the richest owners in the MLB, $3.5 billion. You got to go spend. You got to go get a closer. You need to go get a setup guy. This is the time.
It wasn't even trying.
This is the time.
No, it wasn't.
Go spend the money. Screw the luxury tax.
It was
spend
Romero
the money.
And Albers? Did Albers?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Albers,
doesn't matter.
Who, by the way, looks like me in college after 15 Natty Lights and 3 jumbo slices. Talk about a professional athlete. My God. Wow.
What else you got for news?
Well, you know what? I was going to do some more sports, but I think we really need to address the friendly skies.
Because the Southwest flight.
Yes, there has been another incident on an airplane. This one with Southwest Airlines. This one landed in Burbank, California. And as people were getting off to deplane, a fistfight broke out between two men. I guess it started when they were jostling for position near a row of seats, I guess to try and get out before the next one.
Why?
I don't know.
You're going to be waiting landed. 5 minutes for your bag anyhow.
The plane has landed. You know, just take
it. In fact, on a Southwest flight, I would understand a fistfight breaking out because of the cattle. It's open seating.
Yes.
You know, so I could see in that instance guys fighting over
a seat.
Next to a hottie or something. Yeah.
Well, but before the flight.
Right.
Yes.
But getting off, just get off.
Right. You just wait your turn. You wait your turn. And when it comes to your row,
here's how
it
works, as Luke and I were discussing. The row in front of you empties completely and goes. Your row empties completely and goes. The row behind you empties completely and goes.
Now, you are permitted to say if you have a connection coming up, hi, I'm sorry, I have a connection really close to the time. Now we were a little late getting in. Would you mind if I go ahead of you? Fine.
Also acceptable if you're a 2-time Emmy Award winner. Do you know who I am?
Correct.
Absolutely. Well, but he's getting off at the front.
I'm at the front.
Yeah, true. Sometimes he's in row two.
He's been
in row two.
So apparently one man forces the other over the backs of the seat in front of him. He then leans over this fallen guy and unleashes a series of punches before fellow passengers rush in to stop the pummeling. On a cell phone video, you can hear one female passenger scream out, "What is wrong with you?" They finally break it up.
This happens every day.
I think we heard her scream that out earlier in the show.
Yes, I think we did, yes. One man suffered minor injuries but can continue on to his destination. The other man, 37-year-old from Lancaster, California, was detained at the gate and arrested for misdemeanor battery and booked into the Burbank City Jail.
So I think we can laugh at this, and I'll tell you why you can laugh at these airline flights, because there's such little space. Everyone's so cramped. The quarters are so confined. that the fights are always sort of sissy-ish kind of fights anyhow. It's just, yeah, it's a lot of, like, slapping, and you can't get a good haymaker in. No one's been hurt, really, on one of these flights, right?
And also, I think this has been going on for a long time. It's just the social media culture that we live in.
You think the video changes?
The way people used to get liquored up on flights?
I'd rather be punched in the face than have Finneran. A Gerard Finneran situation, I can tell you that.
Yes. Yeah.
Google it, kids.
Yes, exactly. Google that. That's a good history lesson. And sad more news from the world of the airlines. You remember Simon the Giant Rabbit who passed away?
Yes, the 3-foot-long rabbit.
Well, now what they're suggesting is Simon's owners are suggesting that the United Airlines people might have inadvertently locked Simon up in a freezer by mistake for 16 hours after arriving.
Ted Williams situation.
Simon was immediately cremated so that the owners were not able to see the dead body. So it feels a bit suspicious.
They killed the rabbit and he didn't get it back? I mean, they just said, hey, we did you the favor of cremating him for you?
That's a lot of meat.
He wanted to be buried.
Well, I think he had a very specific mention in his will about where he wanted to be buried. And it appears as if they might have done that.
Put him in a freezer?
Well, put him in a freezer and then cremate him to cover up any sort of guilt there. What they said, no, we have a very firm timeline. He arrived at Chicago O'Hare in apparent good condition at 10:25. He was seen by a representative of the kennel facility moving about within his crate at 11 a.m. But shortly thereafter, a representative noticed that he was motionless and that he passed away. That seems a bit sudden.
I believe the family of the rabbit.
You're going to take their side?
I will, 100%.
Yeah, for those that want to know what this is like, just view Monty Python, the Blue Parrot sketch. And this is essentially what is happening.
Should we be selling our airline stock? It does not seem to be a good...
There's only three airlines.
The reason why flying is so awful is because of the stock. Because they try and do everything to make these absurd margins, and that's why on the American Airlines now, the A319 flights they've created, they're awful. They shrank the seat. People are getting fatter. The seats are getting smaller. There's no leg room, and there's no service. It's just terrible. I'm a priority guy, and I get stuck in middle seat. That doesn't happen.
Right.
We can't have that.
You're Luke Russell, damn it.
Luke's appearances on this show are outstanding.
Group 4 boarding. I'm not going in the middle seat. There are 9 groups.
Right. What else? It's a bit maddening. American Idol's coming back.
Yes.
Coming back to ABC after sitting out this past television season. It will be back on ABC for the 2017-2018 season. Not sure if Ryan Seacrest is going to be part of it
He used to work at NBC, and now he works at ABC because the Kelly Ripa show is an ABC product.
Right.
Ryan Seacrest would be fine, but if my feeling is, because I used to watch the show, without Simon Cowell, you got to find Simon Cowell or somebody just like Ryan Seacrest. Too nice. You have to find someone like Simon Cowell, or that show's not going to work. You're looking at Luke.
Yeah, I think Luke might be stepping in those shoes.
I got to say this. This show is an afterthought. No one cares. And my former employer, The Voice, has just destroyed it. The Voice has taken over Big League.
That's a Monday night show.
It's
multiple nights.
You're not going to watch.
Multiple seasons.
Yeah. You're not going to watch. If you're going to watch one of these shows, you're going to watch The Voice because it's much better. They have more up-to-date talent. It's a better format. You get a better spectrum of music.
And that's NBC.
Yeah. It's just a better show.
ABC owns the dancing show.
Well, that's dancing. I'm saying
the dancing show does well.
Oh, sure.
People like the dancing show.
You would
show.
Be great on that show.
I'm a little too old, like by about 30
years. Kenny Mayne
was on and off in
quickly.
One.
Your Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry, was on that show. Right. How about Brian Dunkelman? Bring him back and do it. Give him a second chance.
All right, is that it?
Well, Scott McLuhan spoke. Did you want to talk about that?
No, because he didn't say anything.
Did you want to talk about the...
He wished everybody happy day.
He basically was like...
I love them, they love me.
They love me, I'm just sorry it didn't work out. Gosh, they're all swell guys over there.
That is less believable than Matt Harvey.
Yes.
That's less believable than Matt Harvey.
Did you want to say anything about the Spurs beating the Rockets?
I think you just did.
Okay, well, there you go.
Okay.
Then that's all
taking
I've
got. A 3-2 series lead.
So we will have Old Guy when we return. Chuck Todd will join us. We'll talk to Chuck and Luke about James Comey being fired. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Movement Watch ad. It's good to have them back. We haven't done this in a while. Movement Watches, and the code for it is MVMT. It's pronounced movement, obviously. Movement Watch is founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 1 million watches sold, to customers in more than 160 countries around the world. Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest growing watch company. My daughter has one, and she likes it very, very much. Saliza has one and wears it all the time, so we're very happy about that. Does anybody else? You have one? Michael, you don't have one.
We still have one that's available for some prize closet that we can figure out what to do with.
We should do that.
The show goes on hiatus.
It's a big prize.
Yeah, it's a lovely prize. Movement watches start at just $95 at a department store. You're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price. It's classic design, it's quality construction, it's styled minimalism. And again, over 1 million watches are sold in over 160 countries. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmtwatches.com/Tony. The watch has a really clean design. People get compliments on it all the time. My daughter does. I know that. Now's the time to step up your watch game. Go to mvmtwatches. That's movement. mvmtwatches.com/Tony and join the movement.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old guy radio for the day. It's the Turtles with Happy Together. 48 years ago tonight, at a party at the White House for Trisha Nixon, the Turtles performed. Nigel, I understand one of them had difficulty.
Yes, Mark Vollmer. We don't know whether it was because it was a very small stage or that Mark Vollmer had
a big boy. A big boy.
He's a big fella.
Yeah.
It was either too small a stage or he was too drunk.
And he fell off.
Repeatedly. some reports is five times during the course of the little concert there.
Are you sure that was level, that stage? Maybe there was a slight pitch to the stage?
I will say this.
There might have been.
This song ended the movie Adaptation, which is a really good movie.
Really is.
Meryl Streep is in that movie. What's his name? Nick Cage is in that movie. And Chris
Cooper.
He won an Academy Award.
He did.
If you've not seen Adaptation, it's very weird and very, very good. And the fact that the Turtles were playing for Trisha Nixon at the White House brings us to this story, and we're so happy that Chuck Todd will join us because you were out of town last week, right? Because you didn't do Meet the Press, so I just figured you were still out of town.
Not out of town. I had a whole bunch of family in town. My oldest child is now a young adult, at least in the eyes of the Jews.
Okay,
for Tony,
that works
so
out.
There you go.
So you're back, and now I've got to tell you, and Luke, I know that if Luke was still working, Luke would be right now on Capitol Hill interviewing everybody in the world. I didn't even realize that the FBI director could be fired. When I saw this last night at about, I don't know, maybe about 6:15 is when I saw
it. Well, neither did Trump until yesterday.
Yeah,
apparently.
Is it? So yep. he's a political appointment subject to the same rules. So I guess my first question, Chuck, is that most of the time with political appointments, when a new administration comes in, those guys voluntarily resign.
They do, but FBI has always been different. FBI has 5-year, you know, essentially the idea is 5 to 10 year cycles. Now no more than 10 years. There's a term limit on it. But the whole point was so that it would cross over presidential terms so that there was some level of partisan independence. So unlike a CIA where there is a tradition of, hey, offer up your resignation. Don't have to accept it, but offer it up. Same with U.S. attorneys. FBI's never really fallen into that category because it would look like you were trying to politicize the FBI.
Yeah.
Especially in the post J. Edgar Hoover and Nixon era. It was just a rule. You have the unwritten rules of baseball. You have the unwritten rules of politics. And this was one of the unwritten rules. Well, welcome Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I think the first reaction everybody last night was it looks really Nixonian. We've seen this before. My overall question to both you and Luke would be this. I thought that James Comey was part of, you know, what he did with Hillary Clinton almost helped hand the election to Donald Trump. So I was a little surprised at this. But is it possible, as everybody lines up on either side of this, is it possible that indeed you could fire him for cause and make it not look as political as it looks now? Because now what it looks like is that the Trump administration is afraid of an investigation into the ties with Russia.
Tony, I think two things are true. One, James Comey was losing the ability to lead the FBI. He had credibility issues, both sides of the aisle. 20 minutes before the firing was announced, I had Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat, on my show from Connecticut. And I asked him point blank if he still had confidence in Comey. It's been something I've been asking Democratic senators who've come on. I asked Dianne Feinstein last week. And he wouldn't do it. He would just simply say, I have confidence in the FBI, but not Comey. But if that was the reason, the president could have gotten away with this at the start of the term, saying, you know what, and using all this as an excuse. It's the fact that it's tied toward, in the when have we heard the most from Comey in the last 2 weeks publicly, it's been about him essentially updating the public on a status of an investigation into Russia. So, you know, look, I think there are two things were true. He had lost, he had a credibility problem. That was a fact. The office of the president oversees Comey, and you could make a case that at some point they needed to find somebody that could restore that credibility. But President Trump was not the person to do this. And so it seemed as if Comey was safe politically simply because while Democrats wanted him out, they didn't want Trump to appoint his replacement. And while maybe Trump wanted him out, it would look like he was guilty of something if he fired him. Well, Donald Trump never runs from controversy. No. He always runs toward it.
And Chuck, the things that stood out to me are things that are odd. It's odd that James Comey finds out about this while he's out in L.A., and there's a TV flashing in the background that says he's fired, and he thinks that it's an elaborate prank. And then his staff takes him into the side room and goes, actually, that's true. That's very odd. It's odd that the message was hand-delivered by Trump's personal...
By the way, are they big prankers at the FBI?
Yeah, I was about to say.
You've been punked.
This was like, oh, I've been punked again. And, you rascals, you. Yeah,
it's odd that Trump's personal bodyguard, Keith Schiller, I believe his name is the one who delivers this message. So a guy who has a complete BS title, Oval Office Operations or whatever. I mean, I'm head of the Tony Kornheiser restaurant operation. All right. That just screams of thuggery. Then you have Jeff Sessions write this recommendation along with the deputy AG. But Jeff Sessions has supposedly recused himself from anything pertaining to Russia. And Comey is, at least right now, the only impartial investigation going on into Russia. We can say that the committee is investigating him are impartial, but there are Republicans there who might steer it in one direction or another. And then on top of that, Chuck, and this is where I'm more curious than anything about Trump's weird statement, where he says, "While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I'm not under investigation," Spicer was asked what those three separate moments were and can't answer. What's going on?
Well, and it is hard not to conclude this is all Russia-related. If you look at the president, he continues to talk, say it's phony, phony, phony. Anybody who has private conversations with, he doesn't even acknowledge that it's a real issue, even in private. It's not just a public stance. It sort of nags at him, and now we've got all the anecdotal coming out that he's been watching TV frustrated. But I'll tell you, the president, you know, look, there's so many ways he bit off more than he can chew here. But I'm going to pick your last point. What he said that James Comey assured him three separate times. Well, I guarantee you this, private citizen James Comey is going to be called to testify quite a bit this summer. And private citizen James Comey is going to be asked about those. And he no longer has to abide by some of the rules that an FBI director would have to abide by. Because if that is true, then that is interfering in an investigation. That would be, it would shock me. One thing about James Comey that everybody that even criticizes and says of him is that he plays it by the book sometimes too much on some things.
Right.
So the idea that he would have somehow personally reassured, it doesn't ring true to me. And more importantly, I think it's going to, not as if Comey wasn't going to get called to testify on this going forward anyway, as private citizen James Comey. But I think that's going to be a critical part of the public questioning.
So let me get to the most obvious questions, and that would be, do you think that this investigation into these ties with Russia, these alleged ties with Russia, will that continue Or will it be, if it does continue, will it be moved out of the purview of the FBI, and will it have some special prosecutor, which is what the Democrats are calling for, or will Donald Trump try to get somebody into the FBI that others will say, okay, this person is good enough and will keep the investigation going, or will Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump try to just kill the investigation utterly? Those are a choice of three.
I think his goal of goals is to kill the investigation, if not delay it. Look, every chance he's gotten, he's tried to either muddy the investigation or delay it or compromise it. I mean, start with what he did to this guy, Devin Nunes, who was running, who was the Republican co-chair of the House investigation. Essentially, the White House compromises him, and what does it do? It has made the House investigation be turned into a joke.
Right.
That is no longer a credible investigation. Now, firing James Comey. Look, he could wait weeks, not months, to appoint a replacement. What would that do? Leave the FBI in limbo. What would that do? Leave the investigation in limbo. He seems to, whenever he gets the chance, to try to do anything he can to at least buy time or muddy the waters or delay the inevitable when it comes to this Russian investigation. So I do think the goal is delay, 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 and whatever you can to get there. Now the question is, now what? Special prosecutor? That has to be appointed by the Department of Justice. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be cynic here. I don't expect the Donald Trump Justice Department
right.
to somehow decide they're going to do this. I think you're more likely to see a bipartisan group of senators say, let's have an independent commission, a 9/11 commission. Now, this would still have to be a bill. It would have to be passed. But that, I think, is now more likely than ever. You have a whole bunch of Republicans. And watch for this, Tony. Some Senate Republicans might say they won't consider a new FBI director unless the president agrees to either a special commission on Russia or something else. I think you will have Ben Sasse. There's about a handful of Senate Republicans who have already. You have Sasse, McCain, Graham. I'd throw in Corker on this, even Richard Burr, guys that have all publicly come out already and said this was questionable, at least the timing is questionable. That they will link their acceptance of the potential FBI director with a continuation of the investigation. But let's be realistic here. Trump's already won in that respect because this investigation's been delayed again. I'm sorry, it's been delayed again. And I think the more time he buys, the more I think they believe they can at least politicize it so that the results are never fully accepted.
So do you think on a scale of 1 to 10, and I'm cognizant of the fact that you've been asking people if the Democrats, if Comey had their confidence, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a bombshell is this, or is it not as big as I want to say it is?
Here's the thing. I guess in the era of Trump, I have learned to sort of discount bombshell and discount shock. you know, because for any other president, this would be, I think you would see people already using the I word, impeachment proceedings. The reason we're not there yet is that it feels like just another crazy breaking of a political.
Yeah, but also McConnell and Ryan give him a lot of cover, and they've been doing that so far.
But I have to say, I think this is a gut check moment now for Senate Republicans, and I think that this could be a bridge too far. And this is what the other part of this that I think is going to make Republicans crazy. President Trump was actually looking like he was getting his sea legs. He got a health care bill passed. Yeah, it's a politically a terrible politically, I think, for many of his members. But he got something done. He has this first foreign trip that he's embarking on next week where he's got a very elaborate attempt at restarting the Middle East peace talks. And all he does now is take what could have been the most presidential-like period for Trump since he took office.
Yeah.
And he's once again turned it into a Trumpian reality show circus.
Yeah.
And now made Russia the story that's not going to go away. I mean, the confirmation hearings to replace Comey, I mean, that's all going to be must-see TV, and it's all going to be Russia-driven and Russia-related. Look, I think he's now guaranteed that Russia is just going to be the story that bogs him down for his entire presidency.
So on that note, let me get you out of here on this, since the most famous Russian I know is Alexander Ovechkin. Do you like the Caps tonight,
Jim? By the way, I believe that if the Caps lose tonight, I believe Lavrov's in town, that this has been some elaborate Russian conspiracy to break the hearts of the nation's capital. Ovechkin was sent here
He's gonna
to destroy
tank.
A good Washington franchise. I will unless so you hear this, Ovechkin, you win tonight, and we won't prosecute you when the Russian investigation goes.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks so much. I know it's a very busy day for you. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
Chuck right. Todd, boys and girls. Famed above all for saying La Cheeserie in the White House. Most important thing, most important contribution. We will take a break. When we come back, we have a jingle and we have email, do we not?
That's right, we do.
And we are, as people know, open for breakfast.
We are.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Dr. Tony's mailbag. Emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes the doctor's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks. Now a doctor of letters. His school conferred to him an honorary degree. Please show him respect and honor. Bow down on one knee, you peasants.
Very stately.
Tribute now is due him. I'm sure on this we all agree. If you dine at Chatter, straight cash homie.
It's Tony Beeson.
Yes, it is.
Famous for I Have a Piano.
He has a piano.
Tony Beeson from Cincinnati, Ohio.
No longer a one-hit wonder.
No.
Before, yeah, he confirmed it. It's right. Like getting the second Emmy.
Second Emmy. Exactly.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Richard Justice of MLB.com and to Chuck Todd, host of Meet the Press, for coming on the show today. I also want to thank our sponsors, Sherry's Berries, Movement Watches, Casper Mattresses. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. This is from Kyle Linehan in Toledo, Ohio. Dear Mr. Tony, could you please let me know when the next segment of Michael's boy band breakdown is going to be? I want to make sure I hear his thoughts on the following topics. One, why does he feel as though none of the Backstreet Boys had successful solo careers after their breakup? And two, compare and contrast Jessica Simpson's influence on 98 Degrees to Yoko Ono's on the Beatles. Do you want to take any of those right now?
Yes. So Kevin from the Backstreet Boys is sneaky old. And Brian Luttrell.
Is that in Federline?
Yes, Kevin.
No. Kevin is
Kevin
like,
Federline was once married to
Britney.
Britney Spears. But Kevin was like 40 when he was a Backstreet
Sneaky old.
Boy.
And Brian Luttrell, who had a lot of the solos opposite of Nick Carter, lost his singing voice for a couple years. There's a great documentary about the rise and fall of the Backstreet Boys that I encourage, where Brian Luttrell breaks down to Nick Carter saying, I always wanted to be your Scotty, referring to
Scottie Pippen and
yes,
Michael Jordan.
Referring to Nick Carter as
Michael Jordan.
MJ.
Michael can attest to this day at any millennial wedding when the Backstreet Boys comes on. Oh boy. That dance floor fills up and it gets rowdy. Okay.
They are larger than life.
They are.
Jack Selby in Falls Church, Virginia. If the Caps win Game 7, how long until we get Luke Russert complaining about his traffic route being delayed by 2 minutes due to bandwagon fans from Winchester coming up in celebration of a conference finals berth?
It's not 2 minutes. It's 25 minimum.
Alex Lau in New York City. Don't let Nigel throw you off the scent of why he really went to Las Vegas.
Uh-oh.
We all know it was to have a little rendezvous with Gretchen Wu to say I do at a Little White Chapel. I hear Horrible Bosses 2 Cocktail Waitress was actually Gretchen's maid of honor while the Red Baron served as Nigel's best man. From Mike Pavlik in Lower Burrell, Pennsylvania. When I arrived home from PNC Park last Sunday after the Pirates Brewers games, I found one of those election flyers at my front door. Not too unusual with a primary election coming up next week. The flyer listed the accomplishments and qualifications of Jim Silvis, who was running for Westmoreland County Judge. I thought nothing of it until I turned it over and found this written on a post-it note. Sorry I missed you. If you are the emailer from the Kornheiser podcast, then La Cheeserie. La Cheeserie indeed. I guess this falls under the heading of littles electing littles.
Nice, yes.
From Guy Farrar, greetings, old-timer, first-time, long-time. This past weekend, my girlfriend and I visited Barcelona to watch the Barcelona soccer match. Going from our 99%er Airbnb, we had to jump onto the nearest metro line to get to the stadium, and much to my delight, we got onto none other than the Purple Line. I bursted out laughing, and my girlfriend immediately rolled her eyes and said, "Does this have something to do with your stupid Orange Man podcast?" Even halfway across the globe, you and the crew managed to bring a laugh into my day. Thank you for years of humor and entertainment.
Great public transit in Barcelona.
Josh Cromwell in Moselle, Mississippi. Personally, I think the biggest win from Nigel's trip to Vegas was that he somehow managed to avoid being deported.
Yes,
from Eric Jones in Falls Church, Virginia. Mr. Tony, I just ordered some Mom's Day flowers from my wonderful mother from Books. The personal message reads, "Happy Mom's Day, Mother. Love, Tony." That's where the promo code goes, right?
That's exactly right.
Brian Hoffman in Brooklyn. In June, I'm attending a bachelor party in Las Vegas. We will be spending Saturday afternoon at the Encore Beach Club, located in the Wynn Hotel. Now, we all sort of agree the Wynn Hotel is the ne plus ultra of Las Vegas.
Sure.
There are 13 of us going. To spend one afternoon at a pool cabana is $385 per person, about $5,000 total. Even writing that to you has me scratching my head a bit, wondering if it's worth it. I'm in law school, not exactly rolling around in money, but it's likely to be the only bachelor party I'll ever go to in Vegas. So a bit of a once-of-a-lifetime thing that justifies that expense. At least that is what I'm telling myself.
$500 bottles of Kendall Jackson.
Yeah.
Which you have referred to
bottles
as
or
gas,
boxes?
Station
gas station
wine.
Yes. Bottles or boxes?
Gas station
wine. See if Matt Harvey can tag along.
Chris of Charlotte, North Carolina. On Tuesday's show, Gary had a brilliant idea to solve your issue of not having a new sign at the restaurant. He said you could have 8 little stand outside, each with a letter forming the name of the restaurant, formerly known as Chad's, painted on their chests. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So is it Chatter or Chatters?
Well, it's Chatter, but the hyphen. You have a guy do the hyphen, right?
What hyphen?
Exclamation point?
How do you spell Chatter? Well, we're running out of time. We can talk about this more tomorrow.
What? What are you talking about? If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
Walking with her friends where the highway ends, she was only halfway there. She had a face I couldn't erase in wavy, windy hair. Dream girl, cold world, last one on the wall at the dance. They say you can do what you put your mind to, but I never had a chance. Was the girl I loved, it almost
she was the girl
me.
I loved. She was the girl I loved.
Girl I loved, it almost loved me.
She was the girl I loved.
We were kind of like a scene on a movie screen, like Ducky and Andy. Know what I mean? Plot twist, the final score, just a clip on the cutting room floor. She don't need me no more. She was the girl I loved.
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 It almost loved me.
She was the girl I loved.
But everything I thought we were was nothing she was looking for. I thought the girl I loved had that look in her eye, but she was looking right through me. She was with another guy all the time, flying high, till I found out what everybody's been talking about.
She was the girl I loved.
She was the girl I loved.
She was the girl I loved.
Girl I loved. It almost loved me.
Yeah, she was the girl I loved.
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 Girl, I love it almost.
got